Hey neighbor, come on in and sit a spell while we talk gardening.
Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy.
Well, welcome everybody. Ooh, hot air, girl. Hot outside. Ooh, we in the middle of August and it is burning up. You actually heard on the Weather Channel the other day that we're going to have extremely hot, hotter than usual August.
Yeah, end of August. And I was looking at the 15-day forecast, and there's still some 100 degrees here in Georgia for the last week in August.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
And
right
very
now.
Little rain.
Very little rain. We had a chance earlier this week. We missed it, so we got Maggie Jane's wandering around in here. she spilled something. Anyway, Maggie just makes herself at home, girl. If you hear something running around, it's our dog, Maggie Jane. She lets come back and get loved, and then she wanders on off. So we're talking cowpeas today, and this is going to be an interesting show. We've promised this show for the last two or three weeks. Interesting show. I even learned some things I didn't know about cowpeas. Cowpeas is one of those unusual things. When we talk about peas, you know, there's a large category of peas out
Green
there.
Green peas.
Green peas. We call them English peas. What about chickpeas? Chickpeas. Mm-hmm. And then we have cowpeas or southern peas. Now, us being from here in the South, we got a lot of experience with these southern peas or cowpeas. And that's what we're drilling down on today. We're going to talk specifically about those. And for you guys up north that may do some dry peas, like black-eyed peas that you buy in a grocery store, most of the time when we southerners talk about peas, we eat them in what we call the green stage or the immature stage. We don't dry a lot of beans, peas down here.
No.
Have we ever dried peas?
I did those red rippers.
Yeah, one time I think. Yeah. It's a good way to keep them. It's just something that we was not
raised. I dried those Tapazio.
Oh, Tapazio. That's a bean.
Oh.
It's close though. So it's a good way to preserve them, but you know, we was raised eating peas.
We were.
And
I always look forward to the corn coming in. Now, this was field corn. And we would have the purple hull peas and fried okra. Oh, man.
What about sitting up late at night watching TV with a big old bowl in front of you there shelling peas
many
out?
Many a day.
Man, I have sure shelled my
you shell peas.
My share
I
of peas in my
that.
Time.
You can't hardly shell a pea.
But I always told you the trash for you after you shelled them, didn't you?
Yeah, as a youngin', I don't think you shelled peas.
I didn't shell very many peas, did you?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
And to this day, you can shell about 5 to 1, because I will try to help you every now and then, and you way faster than
I am. Yeah, I was like, I'll just do it myself.
You know, a lot of people get them shelled by them, and we've been guilty of that before in the past, too, but we like to grow our own and shell our own. It is nice to be able to do that. And for two people, it's not that big of a deal. Now, some of these peas we're going to talk about today shell better than others. Take that into consideration as we talk about it, because you do have to shell them and eat them in this immature green stage that we're talking about here. Whether you have it, you know, hire it done at the farmer's market, shell them by hand or whatever. For the two of us, we can shell by hand enough for us, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and nowadays you can buy the shelled peas at a lot of farmer's markets.
Right.
Already shelled and pretty much cleaned.
You know, cowpeas is what we consider a very low-maintenance crop. It doesn't take a lot of water. If you had to grow something without irrigation, cowpeas would probably be the one. They love the heat. They take very little, if any, fertilizer, and they're very drought-tolerant, so they're very good for that. They have several different uses for them. They make really good cover crops. We have some varieties we really try to, you know, tell people these are really good ones. Red Ripper's a good one. Iron Clay Pea is a good one. Any of them can be used as a cover crop. Those are the two we normally recommend because they have a lot of foliage to them.
So cow peas and field peas?
Field peas would be the same thing. Some people call English peas field peas.
Oh.
Yep. Some people up north. Now, we say pea down here in South. There's no doubt what we're talking about. But up north, you mention pea up there, and they talk about the English pea up there. So, There we have it there. Warmer climates, cowpeas. They're sending, you know, very little nitrogen. You know, the one we're going to talk about today, they say no nitrogen. But I normally fertilize mine just a little bit, sometimes get them off to a start, and then I quit from there. So let's move in on the varieties. Let's talk specific on varieties. What do you think about that?
All right. And when you're picking a variety, there's some things that you should look at the peas and the qualities that you're looking for.
Yep, the taste, the flavor profile.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about the taste. I'm talking about, do you want one that is vining that's gonna...
Oh, you're talking about determinate and indeterminate, right.
Sprawl everywhere. Do you want the compact bush type that's easy to pick? You want to look for those that are heat tolerant?
Well, no, they're all heat tolerant.
All heat tolerant?
Yeah, pretty much all. Some of them may be more than others, but they're all heat tolerant there. So let's talk about indeterminate.
But I think it's, you know, look and see how, according to your limitations, how easy are they going to be to pick and shell?
So a good example that you mentioned, determinate and indeterminate. Some of these are bush habit and some of them are what we call indeterminate, which in the same wording for there is vining. You will see vining, that means indeterminate. You will see bush, that means determinate. It's the same thing.
So the determinate grow to a certain height and they produce the pods.
Sure.
The indeterminate produce pods for the full life of the plant.
And grows like crazy, vining. They'll just grow. Great example, that's the Red Ripper. They just grow like crazy. Now, one thing that's important, I was going to bring this up later, but since you went ahead and jumped up on me, the plant spacing is different on those determinants than they are indeterminate. So it does make a difference here how big of a spot you've got of what type you want to plant. So if you did have raised beds, you would definitely want to plant the bushing or determinate type. And not the indeterminate types, because they're going to rise so much more. The flip side of that, if you're going to use some of these maybe for grazing, which is a perfectly good thing to do, or you're going to use them for a cover crop, you probably want to go with those vining types. But the seed density or the planting rate is nearly half on the vining as what it is the determinate bush types. All right, so let's move into the first one here, and let's talk about pink eye purple hull pea. Now, the Mississippi pink eye purple hull pea, and that's a mouthful there.
Mississippi pink eye purple hull pea is
a variety that's been out since about 1985. It is a virus resistant. We don't see a lot of viruses, but it is a virus resistant variety, and a lot of trials was done at Auburn University with it a few years ago, back in 92 and 93.
Do we have any of them already?
We do not. Well,
I thought I put one of each in there.
Let's get them out. Let me see. Yep. Right here they are. And these right here have a germination about 80%. You're going to normally see your germination on these peas around 80 to 90%, which is okay. It's no big deal there. They're not going to normally germ real high in the 90s.
So open pollinated, crowder type. What does it mean with this
crowder type? I don't believe it's a crowder type. No, it's not a crowder type. Pea guys are not crowder types. Yep. That's wrong right there.
Your website's
wrong. What I make a note, we'll change that. These are not, pink eyes are not crowder types. So basically, before we get into this, we got three different types. We got cream type peas, we got pink eyes, and we got crowder types. This Mississippi pink eye is just what the name says there. It's a pink eye. It's a very popular variety right here. Now, there are several different kinds of peas out there. A lot of peas are grown, some varieties are grown more in geographic areas than others, but the purple hulls, pink eye purple hulls, is one of the most popular ones that I can think of. All right.
They're easy to shell, is what I like about them.
Yeah.
Easy to shell. And the peas are a light green with a pink eye, hence the name.
The name was pink eye. All right, let's move into some Mississippi purple hull. Let's see if we can find that one right here. We got Mississippi purple hull right there. Now, the Mississippi Purple Hull was released by the Mississippi Agro Experiment Station in 1973. This is it says an heirloom variety, but it's not an heirloom variety if it was released in 73. Now, this is a Crowder type. It's a Purple Hull Crowder type right here. So the Crowder type means that it crowds up in the hull. If you've ever shelled any Crowders, they're the easiest shelling of any of them to me. Pink eyes would be next to that. But the Crowders really crowd up. They get their name from crowd up in the hull. Now, I used to think all Crowders were brown, but that's not the case. Mm-mm. These right here are Crowders.
Now these, the pods are on the top of the plant and they're easy to pick and easy to shell.
Yeah, these pods normally come up in about, these first bloom would appear in about 38 days there. And this is a good one here. And if you're gonna do a dry pea, that would definitely be one you want to consider right there. Lady Cream Pea, we're gonna move into the ladies right here, right now. Now this is a type pea that I mentioned earlier, the cream type, and there's a lot of these right here. Normally speaking, the cream types, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, are a lot harder to shell because it's a smaller pea.
A smaller pea.
And you know what? I really got to thinking about this as we was preparing for the show today. Have you ever noticed where a lot of people, they want these cream type peas, they may not like the zippers or the pink eyes. More people, I think, prefer the cream type pea than they do others. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you go in these restaurants and things sometimes, you'll see the cream type peas. Mm-hmm. Normally speaking, the pea is a good bit smaller than the other two that we talked about today. And the flavor, I think, is what it is. It's normally a sweeter flavor than some of the other
types.
Now
this is an heirloom.
Yep.
It dates back to the 1800s, and I think you said it's also known as the lady finger.
Yeah, it's a good one right there. Let me see if I can find it. Lady cream. It's a smaller pea. Yeah, there it is right there. It's actually a smaller pea than one we're going to talk about in a minute, which is the Texas Cream 40. But all these cream peas, to me, have the same flavor profile. They have that sweet kind of flavor to them. It's not near as starchy as some of the rest of them are.
Now these are bushy and they're gonna crawl.
Oh yeah.
So you need plenty of room.
Here we go. Let's go with Mr. Top Pink Eye Pea. This is a pink eye right here. This is the one that I have planted for this fall. This one is one I grew years ago there. This is a determinate type that really just loads up on top. It was actually developed a lot for machine pickings for all those pods load up on the top, but it lends itself well to hand picking because they all.
And since it has a sweeter, more earthly.
It does. Which most of the pink eyes do. Yeah.
Than traditional pink eyes.
Mm-hmm. This is a favorite of mine right here. Normally on seed spacing is 3 to 4 inches apart, and I like to plant mine on 36 inches. Now I'm planting a Red Ripper or a indeterminate vining type, I might go a little bit further, but these right here, 3 foot to me is perfect. White Acre Pea, which is a very popular one right here. Now this plant here is one kind of in the middle of semi-erect plant, dark green leaves with that glossy luster to it. And the flower is white on these right here.
Creamy texture and nutty flavor.
Mm-hmm. So you guys out there like those cream type peas, you'll hear a lot of people talk about White Acre. They love the White Acre.
And it's a little bit bigger than the Sedandy pea that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little hard to shell.
All right, so we're gonna move into this one right here. I thought I had some notes on this one because this is a good one. Right
Which
here.
One?
This is a California.
Black eye. I got some notes on it.
Okay.
Heirloom variety, heavy production.
Great heat tolerance right there. So if you want to plant a black eye pea to do your dried peas with, this is one right here I would recommend. We call this the black eye pea number 5.
Can eat it fresh or dried. So is this like the black eye peas you buy in the store?
It is.
For New Year's Day?
It is. So I'm going to tell you a little story about this one right here. For you guys who are on TikTok, any of you out there on TikTok, you ever watch Farmer Froberg? He always does 5 gardening tips. Farmer Froberg.
Freiberg.
Froberg.
Froberg.
Okay. He contacted me and asked me what black eye did I recommend, and I turned him on these. They've been really happy with those. So California black eye, they do a lot of dried peas out there. Mm-hmm. In Texas, he's in Texas. So anyway, California black eye peas. If you're going to go with black eye pea, that's the one. Mm-hmm. You've got to have these black eye peas around. What's New Year's?
New Year's.
Dixie Lee. I don't think we got no Dixie Lee here. Oh, we don't have the Dixie Lee.
No, there's
some. Oh, I got some more here. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Cream 40. I thought we got no Dixie Lee.
I thought I had a Dixie Lee pea.
Let's see what we got on that right there. Dixie Lee is a kidney-shaped pea. You know, it's a real small one. Now, if you're going to grow one in a raised bed, this is probably one for you right here. It doesn't get very big. It does have a few runners. Gets about 12 inches tall. It will spread out some of its runners there. And pods around 7-8 inches long, up to 14 peas for a pod.
Wow.
Yep. They are considered medium in maturity, producing pods in about 68 days with a flower color of purple. Very popular variety right there, Dixie Lee.
And these are green and they turn yellow once the pods are ready to be harvested.
Mm-hmm. Texas Big Boy Pea. I don't think I did enough. I got started and didn't finish up on my notes right there. Yeah, this is a purple hull cream pea. Well, I just told everybody wrong. This is a purple hull cream. Oh, I said pink eye. So we have purple hull crowders and we have purple hull cream pea. And here you go right here. Extra long pods. Peas are great. Maggie, you okay down there?
I hope she hadn't found her.
R-A-T.
An R-A-T.
She done moved up in here, made herself at home up in our little thing here. So this is a good heat tolerant variety right here, which most of them are, but this one's known for its heat tolerance and growing in drier conditions right here. So if you got a place that you're going to be a little iffy on getting the water to and you want that good cream type pea, this is good for you right here. Texas Big Boy Pea. I've never planted this, but it's on my list to do.
Those turn green and then yellow once pods are ready to be harvested. That's interesting.
Yep. All right, and here we got this one right here.
What is it? Texas?
Cream 40. I just sold a buddy of mine a whole bag of these the other day.
Is that the same thing as the Texas Big One?
Nope.
No.
Cream 40 is a red plant. Now, this pea here is going to make a little bit bigger pea than some of your creams out there. So if you like those real small ones, this might not be a variety for you. But this one does exceptionally well. It grows out good. Seed shape is kind of a kidney shape there. And it's a non-crowd. Of course, it's a cream pea. And it has that smooth seed coat.
It grows upright.
Yeah. Everybody loves these. Texas Cream 40. Boom.
It was developed, introduced in 1952.
Oh, really?
By the Horticulture Department of Texas A&M. It was developed by crossing early season black eye pea variety with a mid season cream pea variety.
Hmm. Wow. How about Sedandy?
Sedandy.
Sedandy is a southern favorite. You know, you talk about peas, everybody talks about Sedandy peas right here. 65 days maturity right there. A similar flavor to a zipper, but it is a cream pea. Right there it is. You've seen Sedandy's before. Kind of a small plant. These right here would work really good in raised beds. Probably going to be a little bit tougher to shell out.
Actually they're easy to shell.
Oh, you don't think it's as easy as a zipper though, do you? I don't know about that. I've shelled a lot of these in my lifetime. But Sedandy's a good one there. Everybody loves Sedandy's. Now, this particular one's got a germ rate of 94%, which is highly unusual. Yep.
Yeah. They're a bush type.
Yep. All right. Now, save this one to last right here. This, by far, is the most popular pea that we see. Fact of the matter is, folks, we're sold out of it right now. But we're still going to talk about it. Zipper cream peas is a seed. If you want some of those, you better get them in the springtime because we sell out of them every year. in the late summer.
We have a few of the small seed packets.
That is
as it. We're filming, but by the time this airs,
yep. Normally buy all we can get our hands on every year.
So it'll be next year before we have more.
Now, this is ones we grew last year. I love zippers. Mm-hmm. Zippers to me is the easiest to shell.
Yeah, and you had a few
mixed in off tops.
Yeah, off tops.
You're gonna have that with peas, folks. I don't know if y'all can see in that jar. You're gonna have an off top every now and then. It's just the nature of peas.
And we have enjoyed.
Man, we've enjoyed those
canned peas. Last year, I think it was the first year that I actually canned some.
Did you know zippers were developed by the University of Florida? It was developed around 1964. So it is a great heat tolerant variety right there. It's one of the largest peas, cow peas out there.
So would it be considered an heirloom?
Not in my book, no ma'am. Not developed in 1964.
I thought it had to be 50 years old.
Normally they would say it would be at the end of World War II. When man started hybridizing seed around the end of World War II, a lot of definitions, and heirloom's got a kind of iffy definition to it, but a lot of people define an heirloom as it was around before man started hybridizing seed, which was around the end of World War II. Somewhere around 38, 40, somewhere near. Did I get my history right on that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope you did. Somebody will correct you if you didn't.
The best yielding pea out there, southern pea in my book, is the zipper pea. They don't get very big. I plant these on 36-inch rows.
But they are semi-vine.
Semi-vine, but nothing like some of those others, like the Red Ripper and everything.
You do have to maneuver your way through picking them.
Yep. So let's talk about a couple more varieties that we don't have seed packs on here real quick. Red Ripper, which is one. I got to tell this Red Ripper story. So a few years ago, your mother and stepfather told us they had found a pea that somebody had given them that was off the chain. And they've been growing it for a couple of years, but you couldn't buy the seeds out there anywhere. And they didn't really have a name for it, but they wanted to share some of
it. We called it Gene Paw pea for a while.
We called it the Gene Paw pea for a while. And then we got it and we growed it for a couple of years, and I shared it with a friend of mine that just passed away this year, and he called it Key Pea. But we didn't have a name for it. Well, come to find out, the one we were planting was Red Ripper Pea. Mm-hmm. So we started carrying the Red Ripper Pea. We found a source for it. It is a big vining variety. It has that dark red maroon color to it, and it's a little bit on the small side, but it has really unique flavor to it. But it's exceptional for a cover crop because it has all that foliage on it, and it just grows like crazy. Now, I would plant that on a 4 to 5 foot row if I'm going to plant it and give it plenty of room to grow. But it's been a good one. We ain't grown it, 2 or 3 years. So, another one's going to be iron clay peas. Iron clay peas, a lot of people think about iron clay peas as a cover crop or as a feed for deer feed. But did you know iron clay peas, if you go to the store and buy a canned pea, more likely what variety it is iron clay pea. Iron clay pea is a great one, grows well here. A lot of people plant it for deer feed. Works good for foliage if you want to graze your goats or animals on it. It's a good one right there. We've never grown iron clay as a food source, but you got these varieties. We got all of them, but specifically you got iron clay and Red Ripper that you can grow for grazing, for a cover crop, and human consumption. So you got three ways you can use that pea crop here. So those are ones right there that we carry, folks. That gives you just a little overview of some of them.
So let's talk about planting. When do you want to plant these peas?
You can plant these peas anytime during the summer. Now, what I have found over the last few years with these right here, we have a terrible problem here in the South with the southern pea curcurio. If you ever picked a pea and it's got that little black spot on there, that's where the southern pea curcurio has stung that pea. Stung is a loose term, but what they do is they pierce that pea and lay their egg down in that pea pod. So you don't want that. We view that as pests. Some people don't like eating.
It's just protein.
I don't particularly like it. Now, my mother and your mother would pick those out if they were stung, and we do too. So if we got a stung pea, we view that as undesirable and we don't want it. I have seen people eat it. But anyway, It's a huge pest. You cannot hardly grow a pea here in the South anymore in the springtime on kind of that pest. However, we have found that you do exceptionally well with it in the fall of the year. For some reason or another, that insect has cycled out and the pressure is not near as much as what it is in the springtime. Therefore, I've quit planting peas in the cowpeas in the spring. We only grow them in the fall.
And you only direct seed.
Only direct seed. Don't grow them in the greenhouse. I'm not seeding you can't, but it's not a good way of doing things.
Their roots do not like to be disturbed.
Yeah, and plus they come up so quick and everything. Mm-hmm. You want to plant them. Now, you don't want to overwater them. You want to put them in there and get them nice and moist, but you don't want to overwater them or they will rot in the soil there. So if you plant them and have several days of rain, you may have to replant.
Is this something that's really good planted with your cedar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It does a wonderful job with any of the peas. Now, pH is not real important. 5.5 anyway to 6.5. It's a wide range of soils you can plant them in. Sandy soils do good because the fertilizer. These are a legume. Therefore, they do attract their own nitrogen, so they need hardly any fertilizer. Iron clays, they always say no fertilizer on iron clays. Some of the rest of them, I'll prop them up to start with. And being they are a legume, you have to worry a little bit about inoculant. This right here is inoculant. We sell this as an add-on to peas. This is a beneficial bacteria that helps that correlation between the nodulation of your legumes. And nodulation is a term used where it attracts that nitrogen and stores it on the root system. If you ever pulled up peas, these little round knots on rules, that's nodules. Nodulation is a word I just made up.
You was doing pretty good there.
It's a word where you take where it all brings it in together, and that. So the nitrogen is actually stored in that, and not nodule there. The beneficial bacteria you need in the soil to make all that work is this right here. Now that being said, if you planted peas in the same spot in the last 3 years, you don't necessarily have to have this. But if you've not planted peas there for the last 3 years, I would put me some inoculant in there. And the way you do this right here is like a shaker can. You bust it in there and just shake it out in the fur there. Mm-hmm. And that helps that hold that process there.
What about row spacing? Should you do single row, double row?
No, not double rows for me. I do single row spacing on those smaller varieties. Like I said earlier, 36-inch rows is perfect for me on those vining types, 4 to 5 foot. Now on the seed spacing in the row, about 6 inches to me on a bush type, an indeterminate, you can go any way up to a foot on those, 8 to 12 inches on those vining type. I'm talking about in row spacing there.
Okay.
What about pollination? Do you need bees for peas?
Bees for peas.
Do you need bees for peas? You do not need bees for peas. Bees are self-pollinating. That doesn't mean bees won't move pollen from one to the other, and the peas somewhat, you know, they benefit from that sometimes. And the bees love the peas. So it's beneficial. Yeah, it's beneficial to our pollinators. They love those peas, but they're self-pollinating. They don't have to have the bees out there, but they do help somewhat. And they're pretty. Wonder when they're blooming out there, they're pretty with those white and purple blooms.
So. Do you need to put irrigation on them?
I normally do, but they are drought tolerant. But I normally put this time of the year. In springtime, I might would wing it if I was going to do it, because we do get rains more in spring. But we're fixing to be moving into September and October, mm-hmm. which is our dry time of the year.
Yeah, since they need an inch of water per week.
Oh, that's pretty much the rule of thumb with everything. I'm going to put mine on drip. I always put mine on drip. When do you harvest them?
When they're ready.
As many peas as you picked in your lifetime, you can't tell people when to harvest them.
Well, it depends on the pea.
Well, explain to people when you harvest them.
Well, like the zipper peas, they're going to turn a little yellow, and you'll see the actual pea, you know. I always pick one and see how easy it is to shell. That's how I determine.
You do not want that shell straw color to dry out. You still want it green and pliable.
Yeah.
But you can tell when it gets to the mature stage, it starts popping a little bit.
But I walk through there and pop that end off, see how easy it is to shell. Those peas release out of there real easy. That's how I know.
Normally 2 to 3 pickings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it varies, but sometimes 2 to 3 peakings. That third peaking,
the first one is a little skimpy. The second and third, pretty heavy. Then you're about tired of them, and you want to give them to the animals.
Yeah. All right. So when we shell our peas, we love to eat them fresh. You put a little ham bone in there or some pork, season them up. Or if you don't like that, you can always use something called Goya. We used to use that a lot. We don't use it much anymore. But how do you preserve them?
You can freeze them. And that's how, these are actually from 2020. That's how I always done the majority of my peas. You have to blanch them. And then cool them off and then put them in a Ziploc bag. And the one thing with peas, because they have water in them, it's almost impossible to get them dry. So you get a little ice and maybe a little freezer burn going on there. So I still have some that we have frozen, but my, and you can dry them. Now when you're drying them, you want to make sure they're completely dry, because if you have one pea that's not, it's going to mess up your whole jar or your whole batch. My preferred way is canning, because pressure canning. You have to pressure can these. You can't water bath because of the acidity level. But it takes 2 minutes to pop this open, and we don't even put any meat in it. Sometimes I add a little chicken broth. Sometimes I'll add a little bacon grease, and heat them up, and you got a meal. It's just easy, easy.
Yeah, no refrigeration. What I love, we keep these in the, our kitchen there. We got some open shelves right above the stove. Reach up and grab one. We eat them a lot.
Yeah, so I was reading. It was actually on our growing guide. The way that people used to preserve the peas a lot, and I've seen people still do this. So they will pick them, they will leave them in the hull and put them in a pillowcase.
I've heard of that.
And put them in the freezer.
To me, I'd rather go ahead and shell them and get them in that jar there.
But they just take them out and
shell them as they need them.
Shell them as they need them. I've never tried that.
All right, so you got your peas, folks, cow peas. If you ain't planted none, try them. It's not hard. Anybody can grow these peas. And if you've planted them before, it's time to plant your fall crop. And you know, if you've grown them before, you know just what we're talking about, how delicious they are. All right, so how about garden spotlight of the week?
We got watermelons again.
Watermelon, everybody's loving their watermelons.
Everybody's loving their watermelons. This is Marcy Vertz.
Kind of got small pictures here. We'll do the best we can with it.
She sends a little video, too. Maybe we can get that video on there.
There she is. That's a better picture there. I like her. She's happy about the watermelons there.
She said these came from Hoss Tools, Sangria, and Seedless Summer Breeze. Had almost 100% germination on a heat mat with a dome. They were harvested in July. She shared with her friends. They call it Garden Flex around there. She had them on drip. Thanks for all the tips and advice. And in one of the pictures, she has her cat Tilly for size comparison.
Ah.
So Crestview, Florida, Zone 8B. Thank you, Marcy.
Yep, absolutely. We love watermelons, and we know you guys do too.
Do you want to talk about the flowers?
Yeah, we got to talk about the flowers a minute, folks. You know, all this heat's been going on. We was walking by this plant just a day or two ago, and I told her, we got to talk about celosia a little bit, because we ain't, this is a volunteer plant right here.
I haven't planted any celosia in probably 3 or 4 years.
I don't know why. Do you know why? I don't know why either. Celosia.
Well, it's a little aggressive.
Invasive, I mean, it can be.
Yeah, I mean invasive, because there's all these, when it starts drying up, there's all these seeds, and if you got an area, they come back.
Yeah. Coxcomb is what our grandmothers called them, because of that right there. It resembles that comb or a rooster there.
It feels like a brainy.
Yep. A great cut flower variety. Loves to heat, loves to dry weather. You didn't get hard to do anything. It
holds
to
up well in a vase.
Yeah.
And they're pretty dried too.
Yeah. If you got somebody's been in gardening in your life for a long, long time, you can mention coxcomb to them. They'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Old Goat, folks, in case you don't know, on the set here is an Old Goat figurine. And if you know where that's at, put it in the comments below. And next week, we'll do a drawing and do a giveaway. Last week's winner was...
And we're giving away, I think this month, some house socks.
You get dirty socks.
Yeah.
And the winner is Bill Graham. Bill found the Old Goat. Bill, send us your shipping information to CustServeHossTools.com. We'll get you a brand new pair of Get Dirty Socks out to you. How about that? Mm-hmm. All right, what we got coming up, Mama Hoss?
See my shirt?
Yep.
Garden Festival. Petals from the Past. September 9th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Jenison, Alabama.
Yep. Come join us. We'll be us and several more YouTubers out there. We'd love to have you. Petals of the Past, wonderful, wonderful garden center. That within itself.
A garden center.
Is worth the trip.
There's speakers. The event is free. There's a link in the description. They would like for you to register or just say you're coming. So they're prepared as far as food trucks and bathroom facilities.
Yep. And in case you haven't been to our website, we've got a new website up. We got it up. Still a few bugs out there. We hope you're not having any trouble navigating it. If you see something out of the ordinary there, shoot us an email. We've got a couple bugs we're still working out, but we're really proud of it. It's a lot faster. It's a lot more easy to navigate, we think. So
it does take a little getting used to, but once it's very intuitive, I think.
And checkout's a lot quicker. So you can check out a lot quicker because it'll autofill all your information. So that's good there. So check it out there. And folks, we have started pre-selling garlic and strawberries. So we got elephant garlic, and I think we got five different varieties of regular garlic, hard neck and soft neck. And strawberry plants, we got those strawberry plugs on our website for pre-order. So if you're not ordering those, go there and get your order in, because more than likely we always sell out of those by the time we start shipping. We're gonna start shipping some of these garlics the middle of next month.
When will the onions be on there for pre-order?
Probably be another month or so before we get onion plants on there. Well, those will be for November. We'll be a couple months, probably a month away on that.
Of even pre-ordering?
Yep.
Okay. We had a few questions this week about that.
That's a little early for that, but I guess
They were trying to decide to either order onion seed or if when we're going to have our plants.
Yep. Thank you for joining us. Cowpeas. Be thinking cowpeas. If you hadn't ever grown them, think about adding that to your gardening portfolio. Now it's time for you to get outside and get dirty.